All right, I know we have the children in here. I'm going to go back to my roots. When I first started preaching, I preached in what was what we called the primary church. We had the first, second, and third graders. And I learned when I was preaching to the first, second, and third graders that whatever you were going to say, you had to say quick because they were only going to listen for about 10 minutes. After about 3 years of that, I got promoted to the juniors, which was the fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. And they listened a little bit longer. They listened for about 12 minutes. And so I got to lengthen my sermons a little bit. And so tonight, I'm gonna end up somewhere between 10 and 12, maybe 15 minutes, and dismiss. I just want to talk about the Christmas story a little bit. I was wondering this afternoon, how many places around the world today and the next few days and even next week are going to present, have their children present the Christmas story? How many Mary and Josephs and little baby Jesuses? How many angels? How many shepherds? How many wise men were going to be played by children just like ours did tonight in telling the Christmas story? And there's something about the purity and sweetness and innocence of a child that just makes their telling of the story very special and very sweet. Now, tonight, I've entitled my message, Be a Christmas Child. Be a Christmas Child. And I just want to, I have one point to my, I actually have 3 points, but I have one message that I'm trying to get across tonight, and that's this. Every single person here tonight can be a child of Christmas. I'm going to tell you what I mean by that, and I'm going to tell you why I say that every single person here tonight can be a child of Christmas. Every single person here tonight can be a child of Christmas, number one, because God made the Christmas story so simple that even a little child can understand it. You see, the story of Christmas is not just the birth of our Savior, but the story of Christmas is the story of what Jesus did after he came. And I'm going to put it down on a child's level tonight, just so everybody can understand it. And I'm not adding anything or detracting anything from the Bible, because God made it simple so that children could understand. And so here's how the story of Christmas goes. All of us were bad. All of us are bad. When I'm dealing with a little child about their salvation, I always ask them, can you think of one wrong thing that you've done? One bad thing. Maybe there was a time you disobeyed mom or dad. Maybe there was a time you got mad at your brother or sister and maybe threw something at them or said something that, that was mean. And if I can talk to them long enough, if they're ready, if they understand what's going on, I can usually find one thing that they will admit, even a little child, that they've done wrong. Now, I think tonight that if I had the time, and if I could start over here with Nick and just go up and down the aisles all and just talk to you as individuals, and we could talk for just a few minutes, I think I could find one thing that every single person in this room tonight would say, hey, preacher, I've done something wrong. I've been bad. And see, that's what the Bible talks about when it says we're all sinners. We've all done something bad. We've all disobeyed God in some way. And the story of Christmas goes on and says, hey, there's a penalty or a pay, something you got to pay for being bad. And by the way, parents, that's why we need to teach our children the difference between right and wrong, and there needs to be a punishment for wrong. You picture God when you do that. When they understand that there's some rules, and when they break those rules, there's going to be a price to pay. And I'm not going to get in tonight. I don't have time tonight to talk about what that price should be. But there needs to be a price to pay when they break a rule. And that's what the Christmas story says. Hey, every single person's been bad, and because you're bad, there's a price you're going to have to pay. And that price you're going to have to pay is you can't be around God anymore. You can't live with him. You can't be close to him. Because our sin, the Bible says, separates us from God. And by the way, that's what the penalty of sin is. When the Bible says the wages of sin is death, like we were talking about this morning. It's not just physical death. All of us are going to die someday if the Lord tarries, that physical death. But that spiritual death, that death that the that's payment for sin that the Bible talks about, is being separated from God forever. But here's the good news of the Christmas story. God loved us so much that even when we were bad, even when we didn't deserve it, He sent somebody to take our place and to pay for our sins. And that somebody was Jesus Christ. That somebody was His Son. He said, hey, and here's what He said. I love all those bad people down there. They know when none of us deserve it. But He says, I love all those bad people down there. Now, sin still has to be paid for, but I'm going to send somebody to take their place and to pay for all their sin. And that's exactly what God did when He sent Jesus to the cross. It says in the book of Isaiah, by His stripes we are healed. God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. In other words, when Jesus hung on the cross, the Son of God, perfect, sinless, never broke a rule, never did anything that anybody could say was bad, God said, I'm going to take everybody's badness and I'm going to put it on My Son. And when He dies on the cross, He's going to pay the price for the badness of every single person. And the story of Christmas says that if you'll let Him pay that price, if you'll let Him take your place, He'll say, hey, the price has been paid. I want you to come be with Me again. I want you to come stay with Me again. I want you to come be a part of My family again. I want you to come and be one of My children again. And that's the Christmas story. So simple that a little child can understand, because even a little child can understand that they're bad. And if we do our jobs as parents, they can understand there's a price they have to pay for being bad. And every single one of us that's not a child tonight, it just makes sense. It's common sense. It's logical that God would say, hey, here's the way it works. You break the rules, there's a penalty to pay. But I love you so much, I'll send somebody to pay the penalty for you. And that's exactly why Jesus came. So every single person here tonight can be a child of Christmas, because the Christmas story is so simple that even a little child can understand it. Every single person here tonight can be a child of Christmas, because we have to receive the Christmas story as a little child. In Luke chapter 18, let me read a couple of verses to you. Here's what the Bible says. And they brought unto Him also infants, that He would touch them. But when His disciples saw it, they rebuked Him. But Jesus called them unto Him and said, suffer little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter in. Jesus said, when you hear the Christmas story, you got to receive it like a little child. You know, when a child is little, they believe everything you say. And that's what Jesus was talking about. He said, I want you to hear the Christmas story, and I want you to receive it like a little child. In childlike faith, that childlike faith that says, hey, I believe God's going to do exactly what He said He was going to do. I believe God's going to keep His promise. I believe that God's not fooling me and God's not tricking me, that what God says that He's going to do, He'll do exactly. I tell you, it's a wonderful privilege to talk to a little child about Jesus and to get them to that age where they can understand, and to see when you tell them the Christmas story, just believe God. Just and bow their little heads and ask Jesus to be their Savior. There's nothing more wonderful than that, to see a little child in that simple childlike faith say, I think God's going to do exactly what He said He was going to do. I think if I tell Him I'm a sinner and I know that I deserve to be punished for that sin, and if I ask Jesus to be my Savior, He's going to do exactly what He said He was going to do, He's going to take away all my sin. He's going to make me one of his children again. And so every single person tonight can be a child of Christmas, because you got to come and take the Christmas story as a little child. With childlike faith that says, God is going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. If I tell him that I'm a sinner, if I tell him I don't, that I'm trusting Christ, then he's going to take away all my sins and he's going to make me one of his children. And then number three, everybody can be a child of Christmas because when we act on the Christmas story, God makes us a little child again. You see, when Nehemiah came to Jesus that night and started talking about the things of God, Jesus told Nehemiah, "Nehemiah, you got to be born again." Nehemiah said, "How's that possible? I can't, my mother can't rebirth me." And Jesus said, "No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about physical birth. I'm talking about that spiritual birth. The moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the moment that you tell him, admit to him that you're a sinner, and the moment you depend on him to take care of your sin, the Bible says he makes us one of his children. In John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." You see, when we get born again, we get a new daddy. God becomes our daddy. And see, when God becomes our daddy, what we need to do is treat God like a daddy. We need to depend on God that he's going to feed us. We need to depend on God that he's going to give us a place to live. I mean, these children that are here tonight, they don't worry about what they're going to eat next. They don't worry about what clothes they're going to wear. They don't worry about where they're going to live. They don't worry about the boogeyman. I mean, they may for a minute, but when daddy comes into the room, they don't worry about the boogeyman anymore because daddy is there to protect them. When they fall down and scrape their knee, daddy sometimes, I know it's a lot of time as mom, but just let me stay with my example tonight. When they fall down and scrape their knee, daddy's there to run and pick them up and put methylate on it and blow on it and make it better. When they cry, daddy's there to pick them up in his arms and say, "Hey, everything will be okay. I know you're hurt, but everything's going to be okay." And I want to tell you tonight, that's exactly what our daddy God does for us. You don't need to worry about what you're going to eat. You don't need to worry about where you're going to live. When you hurt, he's going to take you in his arms and say, "I know it hurts, but I got my arms around you. It's going to be better." When we cry, I'm just going to paint a picture. He takes us in his lap and he puts our head against his shoulder and says, "Go ahead and cry. I'm here." When we get scared, we have a daddy that will protect us. When we need comfort, we have a daddy that will do that. You see, every single person tonight can be a child of Christmas because when we receive the gospel, we get a new daddy and we become a child of the King. In our psalm books, there's a song entitled that. I just want to read you a couple of verses if I can. It goes like this: "My father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, his coffers are full. He has riches untold. My father's own son, the savior of men, once wandered on earth as the poorest of them. But now he is reigning forever on high, that we may be his when he comes by and by. I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted. My name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown, a tent or a cottage. Why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing, all glory to God. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. A child of the King. With Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King. Let me ask you tonight, are you one of his children? Is he your daddy? Is he the one that you're depending on to take care of you and comfort you and pick you up when you fall? He'll do that for every single person if you'll just receive the Christmas story. If you, like a little child, will be willing to say, I'm a sinner. I've done something bad. And it just makes sense to me that God has a penalty for that. There's a price I have to pay. And preacher, I believe you tonight with childlike faith that when Jesus came, he paid the price for me. And tonight, I want to ask Jesus to be my Savior. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song, and I'm going to invite you to come and receive Jesus as your Savior. But before I do that, again, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight and you know you're a child of the King because there was a time in your life where you asked Jesus to save you, would you just lift your hand? Would you just lift your hand? If you're a Christian tonight, you know you're saved, just hold your hand up for a second. All right, thank you. You can put those hands down. Now, there were several that didn't lift your hand, and I appreciate your honesty tonight. And I ask you tonight, would you, in childlike faith, act on the Christmas story? Jesus was born a little baby so that he could live, so that he could go to the cross, and he could die. And tonight, I can't think of a better night. As the children have presented the Christmas story, I can't think of a better night for you to come and receive Christ as your Savior. I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm not asking you to join this church. All I'm asking you to do is claim Jesus as your Savior. And again, it's simple. So simple that every little child can understand it. Hey, God, I did bad. I know there's a price to pay. I believe that Jesus paid that price, and tonight I'm trusting him. And if you would say that, would you just lift your hand? If you would just say that tonight, I'm going to ask Jesus to be my Savior. I know I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus died for me. All right, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else that would say that? Hey, preacher, I don't understand it, but I know I'm a sinner, and I'm asking Jesus to save me. Is there anybody else? Father, I thank you tonight for the children. Thank you that they told us the Christmas story. Thank you that you made it so simple that even a little child can understand. And I pray tonight for those that are here that don't know Jesus. I pray tonight they, in simple childlike faith, would admit their sin and would come to the Savior. Father, make it so. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.